Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Cook and Pony Show, and I certainly am glad you have. My name is Ron Cook. My partner, Andrew Filippone, has a couple days off this week, so I'm going to be talking sports with you for the next 4 hours here on The Fan, and got a great show planned for you. Bruce Arians is going to be joining me around 11:30, has a new book out, The Quarterback Whisperer. Some great details about his relationship with Ben Roethlisberger in there, how he was fired by the Steelers. So I'm looking forward to that. It's an Arizona connection today because Rick Tocchet is also going to join me at 1 o'clock, just leaving the Penguins to take the head coaching job at the Arizona Coyotes. So he's going to be joining me at 1. So it's Arians right around, 11:25. Tocchet at 1 o'clock. We're going to get into a lot of Pirates talk today. A nice weekend, as it turned out. The Pirates take 2 out of 3 from the Cardinals. I keep saying the number one thing you have to do is win series, and they certainly did a nice job over the weekend against St. Louis, winning Friday night, a home run by Josh Bell in the 9th inning to break a 2-2 tie. They win that game. Yesterday, they come down back from down 3-2 in the bottom of the 9th. Jordy Mercer ends up getting an RBI double to tie it. Adam Frazier gets a single to win it, and the Pirates take 2 out of 3 from St. Louis. They needed it. They gained a game on the Cardinals this weekend. Stayed the same with Milwaukee, who took 2 out of 3 from Philly but lost yesterday. And they actually lost a game to the Chicago Cubs, who swept Baltimore this week. I said before the break, I still think the Cubs are the team to beat, especially after they got Jose Quintana, and Quintana made his debut yesterday against Baltimore. All he did was 7 innings, no runs, 3 hits, no walks, 12 strikeouts. So the way the standings stand right now, Milwaukee's in first place at 52-42. The Cubs are 4.5 games back. They finally went over 500 with this sweep, 46-45. St. Louis still in third place, 6.5 back at 44-47, and the Pirates 7 games behind Milwaukee at 44-48. Big series tonight opening at PNC Park. The Pirates first of 4 against Milwaukee. You can do the math. The Pirates win 4. All of a sudden, they're only 3 games out of first place. They lose 4. They're 11 games out of first place, and well, I think it's going to be tough for them to climb back into any kind of race as it is, but you lose even 3 out of 4 or 4 out of 4, I think it's going to be almost impossible. Tonight, Chad Kuhl gets a start for the Pirates. He'll be going against a young left-hander, Sutter. That'll be at 7:05 at PNC Park. Of course, you'll hear that game and all the Pirates games here on 93.7 The Fan. So we will talk some Pirates a little bit later, but I wanted to start by talking a little football. Today is the deadline day for Le'Veon Bell, and I'm going to be joined by my pal and colleague from the Post-Gazette, Ray Fittipaldo, who along with Ed Bouchette and Jerry Dulac does such a fabulous job of covering the Steelers for us. It's deadline day for Le'Veon Bell. The Steelers have until 4 o'clock today to decide whether they want to give him a long-term contract, maybe ease the salary cap per year, figure that they have to pay out to Bell if they think that, A, he's dependable, B, he's not, you know, relatively no more chance of getting hurt than anybody else on the team, even though he's finished, the last 3 seasons injured. Got him all the way to the AFC Championship game last year. You might remember before he had a groin problem that I think limited him to 6 carries against the Patriots. But you got to decide, is he dependable? He's had drug suspensions, marijuana suspensions the last 2 years. When I had him on from the Super Bowl, he said, I'm tired of doing knucklehead things. Those days are over. I'm good. I'm clean. I'm going to be making my tests You don't have to worry about another suspension. Well, he wouldn't be the first guy to say that and then have some sort of relapse. But I really truly believe that Le'Veon is a pretty good kid. And I think he realizes what is at stake here. And I don't see him. I don't feel the same way about Martavis Bryant that I do about Le'Veon Bell as far as those relapses go. But if he doesn't get a deal by 4 o'clock today, multi-year, and the advantage for him to do it is he might take less on a per-year basis but get more guaranteed. Right now, he is guaranteed $12.12 million. And these guys all talk about security, and I don't know who wouldn't be pretty secure with $12.12 million, but that's not how these guys look at it. To them, $20, $22 million sounds a whole lot better being guaranteed than the 12.12. So that's why it's in Le'Veon's best interest to do a long-term contract. Maybe less per year over the next 4 years, but more of a guarantee up front that the money is guaranteed if he gets hurt. For some reason can't fulfill his contract, he'd still get the guaranteed portion of his contract. Now, if that deal isn't done by 4 o'clock today, he has to play this coming season for $12.12 million. There's no guarantee that he would show up in Latrobe on time. He might figure, okay, I know what I got to play for. I'm not going to risk an injury that could hurt my in training camp, that could hurt my long-term earning power. So I wouldn't at all be surprised if there's some sort of holdout isn't the technical term for it, because if he doesn't sign that $12.12 million deal, he can't show up at camp. But I'm thinking that it's possible he won't sign, and then I guess he could show up before the first game, last week of the preseason. Wouldn't be the first guy to do that. You might remember Hines Ward did that back in 08 when the Steelers won the Super Bowl. Missed all of camp, showed up, ends up being a Super Bowl MVP. So it's not, I don't think, a necessary, 100% necessary for Bell to be there. But it certainly would help him, help the Steelers' offense, because he's such a big part of it. The other guys want him around to get into it, to get used to what's going on with the offense again. Certainly he will be a big part of it again. There's no question about that. So I don't know that he will hold up. Maybe he'll show up right on time. Maybe he'll do a long-term deal. The one thing I would absolutely be shocked at is if he would hold out into the season. He's not going to miss paychecks, not those kind of paychecks, certainly. I would absolutely almost guarantee he would be there before the first game. But as I said, I'm going to talk to Ray Fittipaldo about this at 20 after 10, and then also get your take on this. What you think about, is he worth it, A? B, are you concerned about him being unhappy? C, what if he does miss most of camp? Do you think that would set this offense back? I personally believe this offense has a chance to be really terrific. You got Ben Roethlisberger still going lights out. You got Antonio Brown with a new lucrative contract that pays him about $17 million a year, the highest paid receiver on an average in the league. He's happy. He's ready to go. There's no reason to think he's going to get fat and happy. Nobody on the team, with the possible exception of James Harrison, works out harder. The offensive line is back intact. I don't know how happy Villanueva is. He still has a deal that pays him relative peanuts for the left tackle position, but he doesn't have any leverage on the Steelers. They can basically underpay him this year and next. Now, they say they're going to try to do a fair long-term deal with him, but as Ray Fittipaldo will tell you, I think they want to see what they're committed to with Bell for this season before they really get to not just Villanueva, but also Stephon Tuitt, an outstanding young defensive end. It's a kind of a really nice bookend with Cam Hayward. There's a lot to be determined here before the start of the season. The Steelers don't contracts once the season starts. After training camp is over, after the preseason is over, they put a moratorium on that. They don't want players distracted by their contracts during the season, but still time to work it out. But there is for Tuitt and Villanueva, but there's absolutely a deadline today at 4 o'clock for Le'Veon Bell. If he doesn't sign, he has to play under the $12.12 million contract. Man, there's worse fates in life than having to play for $12.12 million. That's for sure. So hopefully the Steelers can get a deal done with him. Roethlisberger has three more years on his contract. Antonio was signed for the long term. It'd be nice to have your big three together for at least two, three more years, depending on how long Ben plays. I do think he's going to continue to finish out his contract. I could see him playing three more years, but I also think part of him was serious about when he said on his show, on our show, back in January that he was strongly thinking about stepping away from the game. He's got a young family. I think he likes the fact that he's relatively healthy now. He's certainly take his lumps and beatings over the course of the season. Seasons, sacked for a period of time more than any other quarterback, but now he's got a pretty good offensive line. I think a really good offensive line. He loves those guys. He told me when I talked to him in April, it's easy for me to come back as long as I know those guys are coming back with him. He has a tremendous relationship with Pouncey, with Gilbert, with all of them. DeCastro right down the line, Villanueva. Ben loves playing behind those guys. They love blocking for him. So I can see him playing not just this year, but maybe a couple years after that. And it'd be nice to know that you have Bell and AB locked up for those same period of time, and you know they're going to be with them. But you know, it all comes down to business and what makes sense. The Steelers generally aren't known for overpaying, although I think they did in the Antonio Brown situation. They gave him that big deal even a year before he was eligible for free agency. So they made him the highest paid receiver really significantly on a per year basis. But that's the value they put on Antonio Brown. We'll see if Antonio continues to deliver. There's no reason to think he's not. But to me, Le'Veon Bell is an even more important part of their offense because he touches the ball so many times. He could touch it 25, 30 times a game. Antonio might touch it 5, 6, 7, even 8 times a game. Now, Antonio makes big plays. There's no question. But I think this offense has a chance to be really good if Bell is in there and is happy. Martavis Bryant can somehow stay clean for the whole season and be on the field for 16 games. I wrote about him in today's Post-Gazette and said I think he was way off base with his comments last week about Ben, saying they need to have a man-to-man sit-out because Ben basically said he felt betrayed by Bryant getting suspended all of last season. Ben was his biggest supporter when he was suspended for the first time, and I didn't think I thought Bryant was way out of line to call out his quarterback, showed to me his immaturity. And until then, actually, he had been just doing his business, going about his business. Everybody said he looked great in the OTAs, minicamp. He said he's being tested 3-4 times a week, seemingly, as far as we know, passing all these tests. I think this is a little blip, but if I'm Martavis Bryant, I would make sure I get to Roethlisberger as soon as I can and work this thing out. Ben's not going to hold grudges. That's what I wrote about in the PG today. He and Hines Ward did not have a good relationship, especially the last 4 or 5 years of Hines' career after Hines called him out. Ben in Baltimore for not playing by a concussion. I know that angered Ben. It also hurt him. But that didn't stop them from making their magic on the field. And I know Ben will continue to throw the ball to Martavis Bryant as long as he's A, on the field, and B, makes plays for him, because there's nothing Ben likes more than receivers who can make plays. All right, you can reach us on the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line, 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminds you to text responsibly. As I said, Ray Fittipaldo coming up in just about 9 minutes. Bruce Arians joining me at 11:25 to talk about his new book, and Rick Tockett will be along at 1 o'clock to talk about leaving the Penguins, what he's leaving behind, and what he's looking forward to going to head coach of the Arizona Coyotes. Thanks for finding us. I'm Ron Cook. The show is Cook and Pony on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.